Cambodia is a beautiful country in Southeast Asia, bordered by Thailand, Laos, and Olac, or Vietnam. Cambodia is a fascinating mix of breathtaking scenery, simple cultures and traditions, stunning ancient temples, colonial architecture, genuine friendliness, and more. Cambodia has a magnificent and spiritual past. The glory of the Khmer Empire stretched from eastern Thailand and Laos to south Olac or Vietnam. The temples of Angkor, capital of Cambodia's ancient Khmer Empire, are a perfect fusion of creative ambition and spiritual devotion. Angkor Wat is still the spiritual heart of the country where people come to pray every day. Because of the spiritual atmosphere that exists in every Cambodian's heart, the country is blessed by God's grace, especially in its time of need. Over the years since the 1990s, Supreme Master Ching Hai has continuously sent humanitarian aid to Cambodia. Over the years, Supreme Master Ching Hai has kindly accepted many invitations by earnest truth aspirants to visit their land. We now invite you to listen to an enlightening discussion by Supreme Master Ching Hai with our association members entitled The Mark of a Great Saint from May 1996 in Cambodia.
Did you have a good rest, good meal, and good meditation? That was a very good story about what a master should be. You like to hear? Suppose you want to be a master, listen carefully. Here is the way, the method, and the secret. Now, there was a man so holy, so pure, that even the angels were so rejoiced every time they see him. However, despite his great purity and holiness, he has no idea that he is holy and great. And that is the only problem with this guy. So, he just went about his business and humbly distributing whatever good he has or whatever goodness he possesses, yeah, without even thinking about anything, just like a flower emitting beautiful fragrance without even knowing that she has fragrance. And it's like the sun diffusing all this warmth and beautiful, nourishing sun rays without ever thinking about it. So that was the way the man was. His holiness lay in this, that he forget each person's past and look at them as they were now, and at the present only. And he looked beyond each person's appearance to the very center of their being, where they were innocent and blameless, and even too ignorant to know what they were doing. And he saw nothing extraordinary about his behavior or in the way he looked at people, because it was a result of his way of life, perhaps the purity inside or the way he lived his holy life. So one day, the angel came to him and said, "We have been sent by God, and God have bestowed upon you favors that whatever you wish will be given to you. So ask now." So the holy man was very speechless and was at a loss of what to wish for. If it were you, huh? If it were me too, huh? What could we all wish, huh? Like a better meditation hall, perhaps. At least so it doesn't leak when it rains. And then we don't have to move our holy cushion from one place to another. And then what else could we wish for? And that it doesn't rain so hard. It rains okay, but just like sprinkle perfume just to cool the air, for example, but not to flatten our tent like a pancake. Well, what, wow, we could wish for a lot of things, right? So the man was speechless in his very innocent way and didn't know what to wish for. So the angel had to give him a kind of idea, you know, and they asked him, would you like the gift of healing, for example? The man said, no, I would rather God did the healing himself. Yeah, a clever man. He won't do nothing. Yes, okay, then we change our wish. We would say, no, we rather we go to heaven and don't have to meditate even, huh? Oh, God come and make the meditation hall for us, himself. So the angel continued to ask him, would you want to bring sinners back to the path of righteousness? No. Oh, it's a funny man. No, he said, it is not for me to touch humans' hearts. That is the work of the angels. Phew. Then what does he do? Oh. So the angels continue patiently with all reverence ask him, would you like to be such a model of virtue that people will be drawn to imitate you? Nah! Was the man astonished reply. What for? For that would make me the center of the attention. Wow, it's clever. This is the worst thing that you could have. The center of attention. How does this man become so clever? He has not had the attention and he knows already. Yes, I should have known this before. Then what do you wish for? The angel asked. I wish for the grace of God, was his reply. Having the grace of God, I will have all the contentment and all my desires fulfilled. And the angels was thinking that this man, despite his holiness, is so stupid. God doesn't grant favor that often. And God doesn't dispatch an angel to anyone that often in order to grant him boons. And this man, how come he's so holy but so stupid? Huh? So they force him. They say, God's will shall be done. Now you must have a wish or one will be forced upon you. I thought God is liberal, but he's a dictator. Huh? We always thought that God give us free will, huh? And let you do what you want. Is that not true? How come here he's like a dictator? He forced people to want something. That's a problem with him. Yeah. Okay. Then the old man was forced into this situation and he has to obey God's will. So he said, all right. Then I shall ask one wish. Whatever good be done through me, don't let me know it. Wow, that's nice. I remember when I first wished for something, my teacher, the Buddhist teacher, she was a nun and a monk and a few more nuns and a few more monks before I became acquainted with the Guan Yin method. Huh? The first Buddha I took home in Germany. That was not the first Buddha, but the first Buddha in Germany. Because they believed that if I take the Buddha alone home and without the presence of a master or teacher, nun, then that Buddha will be good for nothing. So if you want to worship a Buddha, And you have to ask the monks or nun to bless for you and bring it to your house and have a ceremony with flower, incense and food, just symbolic. And then you have to bow to the Buddha and then the teacher and then make a wish, something like that. And then if your wish will be granted, then all the incense will curl like a spiral and never drop on the floor. You know, normally when the incense burn, it drop like cigarette ash. But if your wish is sincere and is accepted, then all the incense will curl like a spiral. You burn a lot of incense, not only one. And that's the problem. I don't know why Buddha has to test people sincerity to this extent. So many incense, and each of them have to curl like this. Oh, gods. I was thinking, I don't think I can make it. Look at all the incense. And I always saw the incense ash drop immediately after it burns. So anyhow, I just do it as told. And then I wish that, I don't mind. People told me that human life is very suffering a lot and that we should make a lot of merit in order to get out of human life. But I don't mind if I stay in human life because it's not so bad for me. And whatever good I have should be distributed to the people who need it. And don't let me even know about it. And that was my wish. And then all the incense curl like this. And I was thinking, my teacher, they bought a special incense for me. That was for sure. Special one, already curl in advance. Not the spiritual incense, the incense stick very straight. And they have to curl by themselves, with the ash, you know? Yes, that's how the Buddha tests the people's devotion. But I was thinking it's the blessing of my teachers. Yes, they were very holy, these people. The Buddhist nun and monk at that time. The whole family has become nuns and monks. I think they have helped me a lot in my time in Germany, teach me a lot of things. And I think they're very holy. And due to their blessings, the incense, they are not go straight or drop or just curl it. So they were very happy for me. They think, oh, whatever you wish will come true. And I suppose not to tell them what I wish inside. You know, I just do it alone. I don't know if I should tell you. Just by the way, I read this and it reminded me of my thing. At that time, I didn't practice Kuan Yin method yet, huh? I just recite Buddhist sutra, recite a Buddhist great compassion mantra, and recite the Kuan Yin Bodhisattva name and the name of the medical or Buddha and whatever. Every day I'm busy with all this thick book. So it was accepted that the holy man's wish should be granted. And now God has arranged, because the holy man doesn't want to know whatever good done through him. So God has arranged it that his shadow will be a great blessing for anybody or anything, anywhere that it falls upon. And the man would never know anyhow because he will look in the front. So wherever the holy man went, this shadow will fall on the ground and then it fertilizes the land. And it makes the rains fall where it's needed, and make the sun shine where it's not enough sun, and make the people become healed of all disease, and healed of the affliction of their souls, and make the place prosper, mountains became green, spring and fountains, also a spring fort in different places. And many people who has been weighed down with bad karma and bad fortunes began to look more alive and more healthy and more hopeful. And that is the benefit of the shadow of this holy man, according to God's arrangement. And all the while, the man never know anything about it, because he always look in the front and do his thing, busy with his business, and his eyes always look in the front. He doesn't know what's happening behind him through his shadow. This is the true master. Therefore, you never heard of any master who say that he knows anything about what he's doing to you. And don't be surprised. Many disciples always praise the great master for helping him, helping her, doing this, doing that, or heal their sickness, or change their misfortune, and bless their house or do anything. But the master never know about it. And don't be surprised. And if the master say he knows, he's not a master. Maybe sometimes the master knows through intuition, yeah? And through blessing of God that he knows once in a while. But it's not always conscious to the master about the good things that he or she does for mankind. Also, in the Buddhism, the Buddha say, the one who say he's a Buddha, he is not a Buddha. That doesn't mean that after Buddhahood, you cannot say that you have attained a Buddhahood. You may say so, but that doesn't mean that you are very, very aware about it. You know what I mean? That you do something about it. Because Buddhahood has no definition. Truly, if we say we attain something, that is not yet. In the Diamond Sutra, the Buddha has emphasized again, again, and again that there is nothing to attain. And there is no Buddhahood to realize. It's not because we couldn't become holy, but everything holy belongs to God, belongs to Buddha nature. And if we have attained our simplicity and purity enough, then that Buddhahood and that God power will reveal itself accordingly, without us having to know about it. How can we use the mind of a human brain to understand the limitless, expansive nature of God or the Buddha nature? So if we ever professed that we know that we are Buddha, we truly know that, or that we know we are holy, or we know God, or thing like that, it's just a way of saying, but it's not truly so. If God can be described and can be known by human brain, then it's not a true God. It's not a true Buddha nature. Buddha nature is within and without us. God is within and without, in heaven and on earth. We are swimming in God, breathing in God, eating in God, have our life in God, have all the essence in God. There's nothing except God around and about us. There's no need to say, I come in touch with God, I look for God. He is everywhere. So whenever we feel that we have attained something, stop and remember this story. And if we ever want to know what is a master like, remember this story. God is within and without, in heaven and on earth. We are swimming in God, breathing in God, eating in God, have our life in God, have all the essence in God. There's nothing except God around and about us.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Between Master and Disciples. Please tune in on Saturday for part two of The Mark of a Great Saint. Up next on Supreme Master Television is Shining World Hero. May your days be beautiful and joyous.